It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guy.
Hey, Happy New Year. You're listening to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. If you're up listening to me, I hope you had an early night and you're up and fresh and bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. I'm Jop and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. It probably means they didn't go out last night.
Right. Yeah, it's amateur night anyway for most. I mean, you can do it right, but it's just not my style.
Last year we didn't do anything and we didn't do anything last night either. It's less and less of a thrill.
Well, it's just another day you wake up, and I'd like to feel a little bit better than I did the day before. And if I stay up that late and I don't get enough sleep, and then I maybe had a little too much to drink,
put it all together, it doesn't work. Yeah, it's sort of a countdown to, you know, how many days it'll take before you write the wrong date on your check.
Right, yeah.
if anybody writes checks anymore.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, the snowplow guy, my snowplow guy, we sent in his contract in early November. It showed up last week as a returned address. It took over a month. But speaking of checks, there was a check in there, so we get it back. So we find out the hard way that we got no snowplow guy, right? Well, Mother Nature hasn't hit us too hard yet.
No, not at all.
But so I really didn't need it. But we were predicting snow, so we got a couple inches here or there, and I was like, well, I better find a new snowplow guy. Well, I called 9. 8 of them said, nope, full, can't take you. The 9th guy says, yeah, I got room for you. And you know my driveway, Bob. What am I, 80 feet long maybe?
Yeah.
And he wanted $500 to do for the month of January and February. And he said his contract ran out on March 20. So for 2.5 months, he wanted $500. So I got together with Lisa and I said, do we want to do this or not? Because you still got to get out and shovel after that. So we made the executive decision and went and bought a snowblower.
Or a torch.
Right, yep. I got one of those, but propane's expensive. But, so I bought a snowblower. And
Two-stage?
Nope, just one. Just a single stage. But I bought one that was over 200 cc's. It's like 212 cc's.
Okay.
So it's got a little extra power.
Yeah.
But I had occasion to take it out a couple times. It's working okay. But I was like, you know, for $550, yeah. I got one that'll last me for years versus paying the guy $500 to do it.
And not knowing when he'll show up.
Right. But I got to get out there now, right? Because you know Mama's not going to drive that snowblower.
Can't teach her how to do it?
Well, I probably could, but she'd be a slow learner. She might learn by April, you know.
Good thing she doesn't listen to the show.
Right. Yeah. But anyway.
Well, that's kind of funny because you gave me one a couple of years ago.
No, I understand. And I think we traded for something. I don't remember what.
I gave it to my daughter because used it.
Good.
It once and I plow my drive. So the little bit of cleanup I do is.
Yep. Somebody's getting use out of it and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Because we made a fair deal, whatever it was. I don't even remember, but it doesn't matter. For New Year's Eve, I did not stay up late, but I went over to our friend at Sobey Meats and I bought a couple beef shank roasts. Now this is between your wrist and your elbow is the shank on the cow.
So the front leg of the cow.
The front leg of the cow. And he French those up from the bottom up. So there was maybe 3 or 4 inches of bone showing, and then this big round meat, like the forearm, on there. And you know, Mr. Sobey told me, he goes, you know, that's one of the most used muscles in the animal. Is on their front carrying their weight every day. They stand on it, walk on it, do whatever. And so we cooked that thing for 14 hours. And I had it at 250 for 14 hours on the pellet grill. And turned out pretty good, real flavorful. You had to kind of pick through the tendons a little bit to get to the really good meat. But I'm telling you, it was super beefy flavorful. You know, I think it's close enough to that brisket. That it's just there's a lot of flavor in those muscles that they use a lot. And the first time I'd ever done it, you know, you got to have time.
Yeah.
You got to be patient. But I would say it was as good as brisket. It was just a different cut, you know.
Well, looks cool, too.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Kind of caveman if you do two of them.
Right, yeah, we did.
One for you, one for Lisa.
Right, no. No, we there was another couple, and we split them between the two of us. But it was, you know, they were, I don't know, maybe 6 pounds a piece. with the bone in there. And we got maybe a pound and a half of meat off each one that was really tasty. Real, real beef.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It was. It was. It was. That's why he doesn't sell many of them. I had to call him ahead and have him get them for me, right? Because I'm sure they use that meat in hamburgers.
Like, yeah, I got a bunch of them.
Right, yeah. Use them in hamburgers. But I'm going to tell you what, that our dog and their dog were digging the bones.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, yeah. That's a big, you know.
Well, and I'm happy to report that my little brushback with Jop on his hobo pie, or whatever you call it, worked. He did not bring it.
No, that was shepherd's pie.
Okay.
Same yeah, thing. I came and visited the hobo.
You remember that, Conrad? He got a little bit excited when I told him that it's a pig table.
Don't you dare bring your shepherd pie to my house. I'm like, all right, buddy. You
I was looking for it. I thought you didn't have it on a spike.
Oh, no. You knew what you were missing.
Well, I did have some brisket ready for the thing, and
it was good too.
I did sous vide. I cut it into, it was the biggest brisket I've ever done, 18 or 19 pounds.
Ooh, that is a big one.
Yeah, and I cut it, I always cut the flat off, but then since I was going to put it in sous vide when it was done smoking, I had to cut the other remaining, the point, into two parts.
Right.
And barely fit it in those bags, but
fit in my stocking though, half of it.
I put it in 165 for about 14 hours, and because I'd never done it before,
right?
And I just read several comments, people doing butts and whatnot, and then like a fool, I gave Randy the point for Christmas.
That was clairvoyant of you. That wasn't foolish. Come on, man.
How was it?
I have not cooked it yet.
Oh.
I put it in the refrigerator because I think it would hold.
Okay.
And then it's going to get, today, it's going to get cooked.
Wow.
On Saturday. So
all you got to do is warm it up. Yeah. You don't need to cook it.
Right, exactly. But we hadn't had occasion to eat it until New Year's Day.
Well, so a couple nights ago, I had my family over, and I thought I had enough brisket left over. There was that much in the bottom of the pan when everybody ate.
Oh, yeah.
But I got the old Timber Ridge out, and I went and bought a bunch of frozen fries, and I made a bunch of my version of crack fries, and they were hugely popular.
Right. Timber Ridge, excuse me, is a
deep fryer
that is propane fired, and it's for the outside, and it's a cooking machine,
yeah,
man. That thing sounds like a jet engine when it takes off.
It sounds
off,
like a Harley if it backfires.
Yeah.
You got to be careful how much gas you put on it when you light it, because it's got this great big steel pipe, and it'll make you shite yourself.
Right. It'll pop a little bit, right? Yeah, for those of you who don't know what sous vide is it's a hot water bath for cooking. You shrink wrap your food, whatever it is. In this Bob's case, it was a brisket, and you set a temperature, and the water, of course, heats up to that temperature, but doesn't get any hotter. That's what the machine does, and it circulates the water, and in effect, it cooks things in its own
juices.
And
if you have a seal a meal,
right,
they actually sell sous vide bags.
Okay,
so I bought the sous vide bags. Because I'm not a fan of cooking in plastic.
Right.
And that made me feel a little bit better, foolishly.
Were they plastic bags?
Yeah, it was anti-ADS or ADP, or it didn't have a burglar alarm in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No burglar alarm.
APS,
no
APS, I don't know, something it didn't have in it. So it was totally safe for food.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, I don't think I'll ever use butcher paper again.
Right.
That was so good.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah, well, you got the smoke on it first.
Yep.
Brought it up to, 150, 155 or something?
150. There was probably 6 hours of smoke on it, too, 5-6 hours.
Right.
On the Cajun grill. And brought it in, cooled it off a little bit, cut the big point in half, sealed it up. And that's a two-man job, putting that in a bag and sealing it.
Right.
Yeah,
it is.
It's not easy.
So coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit about, looks like Bob might have got sick over the last week or something. It looks like a pharmacy show right here for the next few minutes. So
sorry.
It's all right. I think it'll be brief because he's feeling pretty good. But we're going to talk about some winter grilling tips for you. And you might want to listen to this because it is different this time of year to get out there and grill than it is on the in the summertime. But it's going to take you a little more time, a little more heat. And we're going to help you through that. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to
bake. Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year. You're starting the year off with Grilling Guys. You need more to do if you're just sitting listening to us. No, I'm kidding. We're glad you're listening. And I hope you had a great celebration last night. You're not too foggy-eyed, and you're going to be able to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. But I'm Jop, and he is Healthy Bob. How you doing?
Well, you know, it's just such a crazy time. And I got this email from somebody I was looking for right now. But in my opinion, there's, like, misinformation going all over about how to stay safe and if you had COVID, if you should get the jab, all this stuff. And honestly, I pay an awful lot of attention to it. And for somebody who's not researching it a bunch, they got to be cross-eyed to figure out what to do. So I thought, since I've taken so many notes over the year, and I got COVID and had to stay at Jop's because I got it at his place.
Yeah.
2 weeks in the basement.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was a blessing in disguise. We enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah. I really bonded with your dog.
Yeah. Right. She misses you to this day.
I bet she does.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, even before I got the COVID, because my sister-in-law is a nurse and I got medical people in the family and yada, yada, we just researched it a bunch and tried to figure out how to stay safe. And I've got to say that I think the protocol I was on made my time with the COVID seem like a cold. I know some people getting incredibly sick. And I think also they might be doing the wrong thing. And I think this version that's out right now, from what I hear, is a much milder, much more prolific, but much milder version. So I want to share a couple of things that might help you. And this Dr. Zev Zelenko is somebody I was on to early. He's the one that cured President Trump, and Trump was in and out of the hospital in a day. But he's real big. He's in New York. He's probably saved, I don't know, several thousand people now with this protocol. But the big thing is, on a maintenance basis, you just want to make sure that you're doing vitamin C. And the big one that surprises me is vitamin D. And that's the sun, right? And I think by doing the lockdowns and forcing people in their homes for all that time probably did more harm than good, because you have to have that vitamin D from the sun. It's just how we're made. But you need 1,000 milligrams of C. You need 500 or 5,000 international units of VD. No, vitamin D. There's another thing called quercetin. And that's also, I don't know if it's a mineral or what, but it's
good for you.
Incredibly effective. Some people get cured just by taking quercetin. And then, of course, zinc, 50 milligrams of zinc a day. But the sooner you, like, if you think you're getting it, the sooner you get on this protocol, the faster it'll go through you. And I think you and I were on the same protocol when we did that, because your wife had basically the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, was I feeling bad 4 days?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Just really bad a couple.
Yeah, it was like a cold.
Yep.
And then, of course, the letter I was looking for was sent to somebody I'm very close to, but it addresses these things. There's something called doxycycline, and then, of course, hydroxychloroquine, 200 milligrams daily, erythromycin, 500 milligrams, or ivermectin. And those are all highly effective. And according to Zev Zelenko and the frontline doctors, all these doctors that you can find online, they're not on YouTube. YouTube is censoring everybody, but you can find them on all the other platforms, Rumble and Getter and BitChute and all these people that don't censor your speech. But the thing is, Spectrum Health actually sent this guy a letter that said, oh, you know, you did test positive, yada, yada. And we want to know that there's a right-wing conspiracy telling people that they can use hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And that's because those doctors made millions of dollars by doing it. And I was shocked that Spectrum would go like that political on it. And I just want to say I will never go to that hospital again.
Well, personal.
And that's – it's very personal. There are – if you look at all these doctors online, there's a reason they're coming out and saying you're being misled. Their voices are being shut down. And there's a classic example. The big hospital that's bought everybody up in West Michigan is trying to control the minds. And I say free flow of information. Don't tell them things that I firmly believe they're wrong. But why do you say the jab is better, or wait till Pfizer comes out with their new pill? The reason these big pharmas don't want you to use these things is because they're off patent. You can get HCQ for 7 cents a tablet. The reason hardly anybody in Africa didn't get COVID is because they all take HCQ every day because it's the best malaria drug. It's 70 years old. And so, I mean, this stuff is affecting our country, and I think you got to do your research. You don't have to take my word for it. But these are things you should look at, and by all means, the latest version of this bug going around is milder than any so far. So don't panic, and don't do anything untoward. That's it.
All right. Public service announcement from Barbecue
kind of,
Bob.
Kind of.
Right?
How about some winter grilling tips?
Well, that's a hot topic, too. But anyway, this is the time of year, the next 2 or 3 months. If you put your grill away, you have to relinquish your man card, and then it comes back in the spring with a clipped corner so that everybody knows that you did not grill during the winter. So those of you that want to keep your man card intact, we're going to talk to you about a couple things, because you've probably figured these out if you'd grilled through the winter, but we're new to you, and maybe you're new to us, so we wanted to cover it. So here we go. Fuel. Check your fuel. Why? If you're using propane, you're probably going to use more than you normally do to cook, right? That doesn't mean you can't cook, but you're going to use more. So make sure that if you're cooking a longer cook, chicken maybe takes a little longer than a steak, or ribs. If you're doing ribs on your grill, take a little longer.
How about if you've got a cheap gas grill?
Well, then it's probably not going to be too wind resistant generally, nor is it's probably thinner material that it's made out of, and it probably won't get as hot as a better made grill.
So what do you do to counteract that?
Well, you're going to cook longer. You're going to cook on higher heat.
Extend your warm-up time.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
And
yep.
Put up a wind block.
Right.
More than
That's
anything,
huge.
Put up a wind block. And keep it covered up when you're not using it.
Right. Right. And now, so there's a couple things. We'll cover more of these later in the show. But coming up next, I got a special treat for everybody. Ran into a new business up in the Rockford, Michigan area. It's called Rebel Poultry. And we've got one of the owners, Justin. He and his wife own this. They're both retired military. And I believe he'd be so humble to tell you that one of them even has a Purple Heart or two. And anyway, these guys are making a living selling chickens. So coming up next, we're going to have a little chat with Rebel Poultry. So stick with us. We'll be back. We live in
our name. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsmen serving sportsmen.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Happy New Year to all of you. Appreciate you tuning in on this first Saturday of 2022. Hey, Bob, over the weekend last week and during the week, I had the good fortune to run into one of my buddies that you know, Greg Palazzolo. He's the guy that developed our logo. But anyway, Greg had turned me on to this really cool farm in Rockford, Michigan that he had been working with. So I called these guys up, and we've got them on the live line right now. A place called Rebel Pastures, and it's Justin, the owner. Hey, Justin, thanks for joining the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, guys. Good to be here, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, this is good stuff. So give us the lowdown on Rebel Pastures. I've read about it on your website, rebelpastures.com. But for those that haven't, run this down for us.
Yeah, for sure. So we're a 37.5-acre farm here in Rockford, Michigan, and we use regenerative farming practices to raise pasture proteins. And basically what happened was March 2020, as we all know, COVID came, and I went to the grocery store, and you couldn't find food. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And that was a huge wake-up call for us. And more so than just that, you know, before we'd kind of been getting into the food education where we learned a little bit more about our food system and our industrial food system in
there
the country.
There you go. There
it,
you
it go. Growth.
Yes.
You know, and it really opened our eyes to a lot of things, and we wanted to rebel against big ag farming practices,
yep,
and crappy food.
They're like big pharma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what'd you do to rebel?
Well, the first year we did 300 chickens on pasture, just 300, seeing if that was something that people wanted, seeing, you know, first we did it for ourselves, raised food, and then we started selling it in our community, and it really took off. So first year we did 300 birds, and then this past season we just raised 3,600 birds on pasture.
So what do you ride to herd those things up?
I wish it was that easy. what we actually have is a 16 by 24, it's kind of like a greenhouse on steel tubes, and we move them every single day on fresh fresh pasture.
Jop showed me a picture on your website or somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. It's
cool concept. I mean, I've never heard of such a thing. But it sounds
cool
a lot
concept.
Better than a chicken factory.
Oh, it's amazing. I'll tell you what. We started doing it and just seeing it's really about soil health, to be honest with you guys.
Yes.
You know, and what happens is you move those chickens over and they're there for a day and they poop and it goes in the ground. And then that turns into natural fertilizer. You know, the synthetic fertilizers that traditional farming, conventional farming today that's being used widely, it actually kills our soil health. And we have, you know, this soil that's been used in mono crops and really just there's nothing left.
That's not what Monsanto said.
No nutrition there. Yeah, right.
So I bet you've got a lot less mosquitoes than the rest of us.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, that is a true fact. That is a true fact. We can sit around our hens and mosquitoes are not a problem. They eat those bugs.
My daughter raised chickens for a little while. I give her a lot of credit for that. It's a lot of work when you only have 10 or 15 of them. If you're doing it for a living, it's probably even more work, but it was a bigger chore than they thought it was going to be. But I give them a lot of credit because they built a really cool chicken house.
Yeah. Sounds like
yeah,
you did, too.
Awesome. You know, what, you know what's even cooler about even having the good food? It's getting our kids and community reconnected with
yes.
farms. I think as a society, we've
yes.
really lost that connection to our food.
Absolutely.
So tell us what you're selling. How can our listeners, one, find you, and two, what are they going to find when they get there?
Yeah, for sure. So we sell all of our meat on online, and people come to the farm, they pick up. So we're open 7 days a week. Pickup is from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. They put in an order online, we get the order, and within about 3 or 4 hours normally, we have that order filled in our freezer at our farm for pickup. And they can come in, so it's, you know, a totally self-serve system. And then during the summer, we also sell at the Rockford Farmers Market, and that goes from May to October. And you know, we saw this year with the goal to feed, you know, over 1,000 people, and I'll tell you what, we blew past that. And it's just a really cool feeling to know that people appreciate what you're producing, a high-quality premium product. And it's been a lot of fun, guys. Really.
So do people ever pull up and you're still trying to catch that chicken?
They're fresh.
We probably do that at night.
Fresh.
Yeah. I'll be right back.
Justice, well, hey, man, that guy's in great shape.
Yeah. And his head bobs a little bit. Yeah,
right. Well, that's because he's calling him in. Right?
We're going to have some fun with you.
Yeah.
Hey, I definitely want to get some of that. I want to meet you. I want to get out there and meet you.
No, but, pun intended.
You know, I want to say that Justin served in the Marine Corps for how long?
A little bit over 4 years. I did 2 tours in Iraq.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. That's amazing.
That must have been like a cakewalk.
Oh, yeah. Super easy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I had 4 years of hell in Hawaii. Let me tell you what real battle's like.
Yeah. So, Justin, I'm looking on your website here, and you're selling whole birds. You're selling the bones. This is a great idea for broth.
He's got all the bones
that are there. Right? Because if he'll part some up or he'll...
What, are you trying to put Swanson out of business or something?
Well, yes, he is. Yeah. And I hope we can help. Right? But making your own broth. I see you got gizzards. Tell me about... You got a picture of a skewer of chicken hearts.
Jop is the biggest gizzard fan you've ever met.
Right.
Hey, some people love him.
He does.
Know, what's really cool is we're using the whole bird. No part of our animals are going to waste.
Right.
And that feels responsible to us. That feels like the right thing to do. We're not being hypocritical and self-righteous, but like for us, we want to use that whole bird.
No, but there's no styrofoam package. There's with the diaper under it and all this. I mean, half the thing you're buying is going in the landfill. So that never feels good. Plus, if you watch any documentaries on how commercial chickens are raised, you'll eat nothing but beef.
Yep. So I'm seeing parts. So I got legs, wings, breasts, leg quarters, hearts, gizzards, it's all there, man. And you'll sell that stuff all by the pound? Or the birds are probably a whole bird, right?
Yeah, we do have whole birds and we have cuts. I mean, we, like you said, we sell it all. So, I mean, it's all online, everything that's available there. People order. I mean, even chicken feet. We actually just sold out chicken feet. Wow. Who would have thought that dogs love chicken feet?
You ran out of chicken feet.
Yeah.
Well, yep. You know.
Yeah. And that's a fact. And turkey.
Right.
And turkey feet. You can buy those.
Yeah.
So does Gunny ever call you to check up on you?
You know, I'll tell you what, the military is a great community, and it has been very impactful for me. And yeah, I still do stay in touch with some people I serve with.
So you're part of an organization that's specific to the military with regard to doing these farms, right?
We are. So we actually just we got certified as a hometown raised by Hometown Hero, which is the program.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you know, and it's just a way. You know, I'll tell you, as a veteran, it's kind of like one of those things you don't really want to self-promote it. And,
right.
You know, I kind of ask other people, like, just do it. You know, you got it, just do it.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We did it, you know, and it does prove validity. And I think that here's the really cool thing about a lot of our military service members. We want to serve.
Right.
You know, and still serving and farming is one of the best methods today for me, you know, it's working the land. There's something about that. Okay. Being outside, being around the animals, having responsibility greater than us. I think it's really powerful. And I think people... think it is cool, and I think that people will vote with their dollars, because when you buy the stuff from the store, it's subsidized. I mean, is a mass-produced, slimy, stinky, weird-looking piece of meat.
There's a lot of bad food news right now on the internet about major chains and things they're finding in the food, so your timing's perfect. We've all seen the pink slime McDonald's documentary, so I would never eat a McNugget after that.
And Justin, one more thing, because I want our listeners to know all the stuff they can get at your place. You just aren't raising meat hens. You got laying hens too, right?
We do, and this year we'll be adding sheep, we'll be adding turkeys, and we'll be adding pasture-raised hogs as well.
Oh my gosh.
Beef-fed cattle, beef-raised, will be in 2023.
And so you're going to raise some sheep.
We're going to try.
That's going to be a challenge, but you know what? There's nothing better than fresh lamb.
Oh yeah,
nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right, and get a donkey in the pasture to keep the coyotes out.
My girls might really like that.
Right.
Yeah, Shrek would approve.
Yes, he got a key. Donkey.
Yeah. No donkey.
Yeah. But, hey, okay, Justin, we got about 1 minute here. So tell everybody how they can find you and where they're at if they want to pick something up from the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're right here in Rockford, Michigan. You can Google Rebel Pastures or go on Facebook, Rebel Pastures, and all of our products are both online and on Facebook.
Crossroads?
Shop right there.
Crossroads?
Yeah. Crossroads are between Young and Ramsdale.
Oh,
on 10 Mile.
A little bit out in the country there, yep. On 10 Mile.
Well, I perfect. Would expect that. So, but
perfect.
Anyway.
And if people ever want a farm tour and see how we raise our proteins, we're happy to show people. We love it.
Well, I think
it.
It'd
we
be a great place to bring the kids. It sounds fun.
Totally.
Awesome.
All right. Justin, Rebel Pastures, thanks so much for your time. We be careful because grilling guys will darken your door. I want some of that chicken, man.
Can't wait for you to try it.
All thanks, right. Guys. Right. Take care.
Hoorah.
Take care.
All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about some stuff on the Grilling Guys show. Stick with us. We'll be back.
How are you going to match that?
Right, exactly.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Bob, that Justin and his wife from Rebel Pastures, what a great organization. I've not been up there yet, but our friend Greg Palazzolo did all of our logo work and came up with a lot of our marketing. And I tell you what, he does a fantastic job, and he worked with these guys too, and that's where I met him.
Yeah. What did he say? He was in boot when 9/11 hit, or he just got out of boot?
Yeah, right. Hit? Yeah, the day he got out, 9/11 hit. So. Jeez. Yeah,
awesome story. I'm glad you found him. Jop's really good at finding things, especially if you're out on the country roads cruising.
That's right. You know what? They're not hard to find, but there's a ditch on every side of the road.
Hey, let's finish up with a little extreme weather grilling. So you already said check your fuel. I think some things you can do are choose things that aren't going to take forever on your grill.
As far as menu items.
Steaks and chicken and stuff like that you can grill up quick and then bring in and throw it in some chili. You don't have to cook everything outside in the winter. Because
right.
Let's face it, it's Michigan. I was going to tell you, that deep fryer of mine struggled like crazy to do the last load of fries.
Oh, yeah.
It was cold.
Right.
And so those BTUs whack everything. And I got a roof on everything now.
Right.
So if you don't have a roof over you, it's going to be even tougher.
Yeah.
Do a little cleaning. Here's the biggest part. Put up some cool pepper lights.
Must be Bob just did that on this new roof, huh?
And get a remote thermometer. That'll save
that's a big one right there.
Save your lily white butt from going out
right.
there,
you
whatever color your butt is. Sit
inside and watch the temperature get warm, right?
Yes.
And only have to go out to turn something over.
Here's the other thing. You're not opening it a bunch.
Right.
That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
So for winter, get a remote. Keep a shovel out there. Get some grilling gloves that are food safe. With the silicone, and there's all kinds of meat mitts and stuff you can get. And after your first winter grilling, you'll have a roof up next year if this is your first winter to try it.
Right.
Keep your grill covered. Keep it close to the shelter, so keep it close to the house, but not so close that you'll melt your siding. You know what I'm saying, Randy?
I have no idea what you're talking about, Bob.
Factor in a little more time in the preheat. Have a prep table right inside the door or right out there, and keep your powder dry. Keep your charcoal dry.
Right. Yeah. Wet charcoal doesn't make any. Speaking of charcoal, Bob, every once in a while, gets these harebrained ideas. And
every day.
We'll talk about it now, and then we'll talk about it again in a month and see how he did.
Yeah.
And then I'll buy him a bag of charcoal in a month and a half, and he'll say
thanks. I've got a lot of charcoal, but my neighbor, just a great guy. We have a lot of fun together, and he saw this on Popular Mechanics, and he tried it, bless his heart. Of course, now he just had his fifth kid, so he's not making any charcoal. But this is there's several ways you can make your own charcoal, and here's part of my real big motivator. I have so much wood. It's ridiculous. I give away tons of hardwood. I cut it up. What ticks me off is when people come over and want some free wood, and they tell me what size they want it. Don't do that. I'll give you some of the stuff I don't want. But there's a really
easy... You might be starting your fire with basswood. Yeah.
You can dig, even if you don't want to buy the 55-gallon drums, you can dig a conical-shaped hole so that it's like looks like a great big point went down into the ground. Yes. And you build up a fire in the bottom, and then you start throwing all your hardwood on top, and you let it get nice and hot. And you can either throw clay over the top or get a metal lid and throw it on it, throw some sand on it, but snuff that baby out. It's going to take you, you want 4 to 12-inch pieces. You're going to let it burn for around 15 minutes as
well. So is there bark on this or is it all split?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. So then you're going
to
put...
You should split it. So like you want 4 to 12-inch chunks somewhere in there.
Right. So you're building a fire with the non-charcoal... Because that's where you're going to get the heat, and then you put the wood on.
You're building a fire with whatever you want, the junk, your branches.
Right, because the charcoal you want is going to sit on top, and you're going to snuff it.
Yes, you're going to build a nice bed of coals up, and if it's conical-shaped, that means you got a point in the bottom that'll have all your fire, and then you're going to throw your 4 to 12-inch chunks on top, or toss them in, however you want to do it. But let that burn about 15 minutes, and put a lid on it. Snuff it. And I'm thinking, like, that old Jeep hood I've got would be great for that.
Right. And if you made it smaller, maybe like a garbage can lid, a metal garbage can lid or something like
that. Yeah, you're going to need big. Yeah. You're going to need big because to dig that conical, I mean, unless you're going to do, like, a little bit of charcoal, you're going to want to do a bunch at a time. That's why I like this idea better. And this is what my neighbor did. There's two ways to do this, too. 55-gallon drum. You cut a little hole on the side of the bottom.
Let some air in.
And then you put a 30-gallon drum inside it. You put some, so that slot you cut, maybe it's 5 inches tall, 12 inches wide. You slide in a couple bricks, and then you put a 30-gallon drum in it, but you drill a bunch of holes in the bottom of it before you do, which lets the heat in. And you put the lid on kind of loose. So you fill it up with wood. You can stack it in there or whatever, but that's why you want the small chunks. And then you take that slot and you start building a fire in there and you get that thing rip-roaring and...
you set the barrel in on top of the fire?
I haven't done this, so I have to read a little bit. You're gonna burn that for... build a fire, big drum. Let it burn for 7 to 8 hours. So your 30-gallon drum is going to be stacked with your small chunks of hardwood. This is all cured hardwood. Don't throw anything but hardwood in there. So I have a ton of like hickory and oak, which are great smoking woods, and cherry. They're great. Those are three beautiful woods. They have great flavor. And so you'd fill up that 30-gallon drum, and you'd burn it. So you'd have to keep stacking it underneath that fire.
To keep the fire going.
Under that, inside that 50-gallon and under the 30 for 7 to 8 hours. So it's going to be a bit of a process. But
And you're going to get a 30-gallon drum full of charcoal.
Yep.
Out of doing that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's a lot of charcoal.
Yeah, it's a couple bags.
Yeah, and the stuff I buy, like I buy that stuff that they sell locally. It's in a yellow bag. It's $32 a bag.
Right.
For big lump.
Yep.
And it's good stuff, but that's a lot of money. I go through a ton of charcoal.
You're burning your cash, man.
Hey, you know what? I'm going to try it once just because it sounds like a great idea, a great way to go outside and have a hot fire. And if nothing else, I can stand around a fire and have a beer.
I'm trying to think where you find drums at.
Oh, all over the place.
But a 30-gallon?
Not the plastic.
No, I understand, but I don't know if I've ever seen a 30.
Yeah, there's guys that sell them online. You can buy them on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay, cool. So making your own charcoal. Or if you're like Jop, you make a trip to the store and you buy a couple bags of charcoal.
I understand that.
And
but a lot of people make a trip to the barbecue shack and just buy their barbecue too.
Right.
So there's varying degrees
of how much
skill you want to develop. And
or how much time you have.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, this to me seems like a Saturday afternoon deal, you know, where I'm maybe in the winter especially, because I'm not raking leaves. Hunting season's almost
over.
You're
not dinking around with the pool.
Right.
You're not doing any of that.
Yep. No, I'm working on the hot tub now. I got a little scaling issue.
Well, that's a chemical issue imbalance, right?
Yeah. It's still one of those little chores. You got to go to the spa store and
buy the right kind of chemicals and put it in there and get them to test your water before and after. And I know. I'm on that road too, and it's not good. It's not good. But
so that's the only winter chore I've got.
Yeah, well, that's good, right? I mean, I had a buddy went down to Shartucky and took four boys. They're all brothers from 8 to 16, four brothers, and took them on his 80 acres of woods and brush, and they shot 11 rabbits. Between the five of them down there, and these boys had never been rabbit hunting before, and that's a winter sport. If you are listening and you're a hunter, I grew up rabbit hunting, and it got to the point where we got so many rabbits that I started taking a .22 because I couldn't hit them that well. When they're running with a .22, you shoot them with a shotgun, you don't miss, right? I mean, it's a pretty big pattern if you just point it in the right direction.
Yeah, but a .22 is nice because you catch them when they're standing still.
Right, yeah. Well, if your objective is to get them, then you hunt them with a shotgun. If your objective is to have some fun with them, then you just shoot at them with a .22 and watch the snow fly around them, because you have 10 shots, you might hit one. You might, if they're running especially.
Oh, well, yeah, if they're running, you don't want to do a .22.
And generally they are, because you send one of the guys in and jump on the brush pile, and the rest of you stand around a perimeter of it and wait for the rabbits to start.
I don't think
out.
I've ever shot a rabbit.
Oh, my goodness. It's so much fun. It's not shooting them. I mean, I don't care. I just like hunting them, because you're just walking through the woods, and you're jumping on brush piles, and out they squirt. And you start shooting, and you might get one. Most times,
well,
you don't
squirt if somebody's shooting at you, too.
I understand. And that's why you hunt them with a .22. These guys were using 12-gauge shotguns. Got 11 rabbits.
If I liked eating it, it'd be one thing.
Right. Yeah. Well,
it's just okay.
If you go to Garrett's Appliance, there's a guy over there that teaches you how to cook a rabbit, right?
Right.
But that's
and
not
maybe
me.
That's yeah. maybe that's the deal. Maybe
right.
I just never paid
well, hey,
attention.
Happy New Year. You've been listening to Grilling Guys and our banter. We appreciate you tuning in. This is the first of many weeks to come. So be safe out
there.
And we'll talk with you next week.
See you.